council work session of 1-26-11 will be in order. The five councilors are here, therefore a quorum is established. If you'll join me in the pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll have public comments at this time, and I'd like to ask you to step to the podium if you would like to make some comments. Hearing none, we shall proceed. Water and Sewer Districts, cable annexation.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you, Brian. Jim?
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. For those who don't know me, I'm Brian Earls with the Lafine Water District, and good news, I'm going to work with Stu and be the go-between the water and the city, and so begin communication lines in those two areas, and we'd also like to begin by extending any work sessions you'd like to have with the Water District. I'm sure the same for the Sewer. If you'd like to get in with all the people on the thing together with you guys, we'd be more open to continue to do that. So we'll extend that opportunity if you guys would like to think about that and let us know, or Sue and I can work together as well. So I think you guys were sent a letter requesting to annex Cagle Acres, and of course obviously it's work session, so it's only your information. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those as well. So if you guys would like to review that, I don't know if you have the opportunity.
I sent it, Brian, everyone did send it.
Yeah, I thought they got it, but you know, sometimes they're busy too, and it's hard for them to get to that stuff. So did anybody have any questions that they found on it, or?
I do have a statement, and that letter was really I have some really great concerns about it. The statements I'm going to make is not, they're not personal in nature, nor are they directed to the employees of the Sewer and Water.
Are you talking about the letter here, the Cable Acre letter?
Right.
About requesting annexation?
Correct.
Okay.
I've written it out because so I can keep it. That you come here tonight behind the facade of public concern is a bit mind-boggling to me. Both your boards have disdained and refused at every opportunity to participate in any city, county, or community issues-based discussions whose purpose is to address the groundwater issues and resolutions. Now, when it serves your self-preserving purpose and your callous disregard for both the people and the property that you will harm, you will pull out and wave around the declaration of public health hazard in order to try to get your way. Shame on you. This is just one more burning tire that you have thrown in the roadway in your ongoing attempt to prevent that the citizens of Lafine have expected from the day that you were voted to incorporate, that the districts would be absorbed by the city. It was clearly stated at that time. You have been told, both in person and in a letter signed by the former council members and the present ones, that we do not support this project at this time. You have been told by the county commissioners that they will not support this project under the current conditions and with the city opposing it. Some of the board members have insinuated that they don't like working with the person who is our voice and our representative in the withdrawal process. Some of the board members think they can shop around and find another voice whose answer they like better or whose questions that will be easier. We have chosen Rick Allen as our city manager, and we have designated him as our representative to manage the withdrawal process. As you have been told on prior occasions, he has our unified support, and we are in absolute agreement with every step that has been taken. We are unanimous in our insistence that you comply with the numerous documents that you have been disrespectfully chosen to ignore or refuse. We ask that you respect the public expectations and the city's stated goals of absorbing the water and sewer districts in a cooperative and non-hostile manner. Continuing the attempt to move forward with this project under the current situations will guarantee one thing, wasting the taxpayers' and ratepayers' hard-earned money. Some board members may need to reconsider their positions if they cannot or will not work in the public-minded and respectful manner with the city's representatives.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, and you know, you're welcome, and everybody has their opinion and has a right to it. I don't think all those things are right, but I would not like to address those at this time. I feel like the thing we're here to do tonight is to present the annexation. That is what we're supposed to do, because by law we have to do it to even consider moving forward. And the main reason we would like to present it is because we feel there's a great opportunity to benefit the people of the Pine and the people in the city limits, because Cagle Acres would fulfill the whole city parameters of everybody getting equal service of water and sewer. They're the only ones that presently do not get it. And we think that we've come across some good terms and some cheap money, and we think that we could fulfill the completion of the construction by this time next year.
But at what cost?
At what cost? Well, those costs are out in this letter to you.
That was rhetorical.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the cost that we feel like we could maybe work real hard. We think we could maybe not even have to raise rates after talking to Dick again today. That was a concern that Stu brought to me, so I went and talked to Dick again, and we think there's some ways that maybe we could even work out not even have to raise rates to our ratepayers. We have never raised rates, the water district, that is, I won't speak for the sewer. The water district has never raised rates since we began producing water, and our whole goal is to produce water at the cheapest cost and the best quality, and that has been our entire goal the whole time I've been on the board for 10 years now. And my goal is to provide the best service to those people that are ratepayers. Now, I recognize that the ratepayers and the citizens of the Pine are pretty much the same. You know what I mean? And so our interest is to do the best for those people that we can. Your job is to do the best for the city as you can. So you see, our interests are slightly different because ours is a very narrow focus.
Okay.
It's strictly about water for me. So that's the only word I want. And that's what my job is, and I hope to do it the best of my ability. And your concerns are well taken, and I will definitely consider them. I would love to sit down and talk to you sometime about all those concerns. I think some of those things that you're saying are maybe a misunderstanding, and maybe not totally, your perception is different than what has actually happened with some of us. I'm not going to speak for everybody because I can only speak for myself. I do not intend to speak for everybody on the board.
Declaring a public health hazard. Would you please want to elaborate on that?
No, we went to the DEQ and asked if they thought there was reasonable cause to assume that it was on the big map, and there's a red thing there, and this is what the DEQ has been saying all along. We aren't declaring a public hazard. This is something from the DEQ.
Right.
And we're just passing information on this as a way that we can get cheaper money. If it qualifies as the health, as what the DEQ considers a health hazard, not us, not anybody else, then we can get money for 2.5%.
So what are the residents at Cagle subdivision? How are
it was mixed. It was mixed.
Yeah. So the residents of Cagle subdivision, how do you think they are going to feel about having a designation as a health hazard?
We didn't designate it. This is something that's already in place by the DEQ.
But you're waving this 2008 letter around. There are talks, you know, the DEQ has been the steering committee. The sewer district has not participated in any of the regional solutions, any of the conversations.
Yeah. And you know why?
For the solution, but you're willing to throw around designations.
I think we can explain that because you have to realize that we're already providing sewer and water, and we address issues in our district already. Those were issues when the sewer went in many years ago. When the sewers many years ago, the property that I presently own had a regular sewer system, and it had leach lines. And if anybody can remember, those leach lines weren't working properly, and there was basically a flooded area back there, and he can probably attest to it. He saw it. And the city, and they formed a district in this area to protect the water in downtown. And so the reason we haven't come to a lot of those meetings as a board is because we feel that's outside of our realm. Ours is a very narrow focus, unfortunately. We're to protect the district which we are in. And we can't really help these other things, because just like this, we're limited by people allowing us to do stuff. So even if we had gone to a meeting and said, we'd love to serve sewer to everybody in the outer areas of the Pine, we wouldn't have been able to do it.
Okay. I'll get up the floor. I think your assertions are wrong.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have any questions? I don't have any questions. I have, you know, a similar concern about the DEQ. It feels like there's interference with the work that's already started in the community with trying to resolve the issue of the alleged nitrate issue. And even though it might be outside the district, I feel like in general we're all part of the same community and we ought to be, you know, working together. And I think this sort of undermines the work that's going on with the advisory council. I recognize that there's value in a better interest rate and the timing of all that would be good, but I don't know what the cost might be to the greater community if there's a foothold for going backwards. The county has backed off of the issue, and we were under the impression in good faith that DEQ had backed off the issue till it could be worked through with the advisory council and that kind of thing. So now this sort of brings it up, and I think there's a concern that the entirety of the community may be it may be a real stumbling block for them, and I'm not sure it's worth it.
I think I can understand your concern, and that's valid. I don't think that's what we were considering when we got this. This was presented to us as an option to get cheaper money for the people of Pine from our engineer who goes out and researches and finds places to get money. And they said, if you qualify for this, it says, it's not something you can determine. It's only something the DEQ can determine. And all you do is submit and ask, are we eligible for these funds? And they make the decision. So you see, it's not something we went out and said, hey, let's try to make somebody look bad or something. All we're doing is saying, we can get money at 2.5%. Mm-hmm. Now, if we get money at 2.5%, I'm from the business world, and I don't know how you guys are from, but in my mind, that's free money. 3% is inflation. And if you can get money below the cost of inflation, the average rate of inflation, in the business world, that's free money. And all we're trying to do is provide water. We've been working on this for about 3 years now, getting water to Cagle Acre and Sewer. We initially started out with we went to them and pulled them. And we found out that somewhere between 50 or so percent would like water and sewer. Some didn't, some were opposed. It will always be that way. Doesn't matter what you do, who you ask, you're going to get... Not everybody's going to be happy with it. And we also did this to try to fulfill the city limits. Our goal has been to make sure that the water district matches the city limits. And if we complete Cagle Acres, the city limits and the water district would in fact be the same except for one very small little section. And that was our goal behind getting water and sewer to Cagle Acres. It was not to undermine anybody with the sewer and stuff like that. That was not our thought process. I can assure you, we only wanted to get the cheapest cost so we could lower rates. We talked today about concern, and now that I've talked to Dick, I think, you know, originally we said there could be potentially $1.84 raise per EDU in the district. But after talking to him, he said that he felt like his numbers were high if things came in better, and we've talked about it. I've talked about it with some other people in the district. We feel like we might be able even to save some money in other ways, you know, in the future, and perhaps find a way not to pass any cost on to them. And that's what we'd really love to do, is provide water at the same price we do today and to everybody in the city limits. And that's our goal, is we would love to fulfill the city limits so everybody in the city has the same services. We already told the city many years ago that we would not ask to go beyond the city limit bounds. If we ever did it, we've never asked that. And we told them that we would not do that. And so that was in one of the original first DIGAs there that we said we would never go beyond the city limits. And so that's our goal, is to just provide water and sewer. That's what our focus is. We don't do anything else. And frankly, we have a tough enough time doing it well, so we're not going to try to do anything beyond that. You know, obviously as individuals we can be concerned about these water DEQ issues out and about. I own property that's outside of the city limits, and I own property inside the city limits. I happen to live in the city limits, but I own a rental outside. And obviously, as a citizen, I'd be concerned if somebody said I'm going to have to pay $20,000. And I get it. It's a lot of money. But my property in the city limits, I don't have those problems. It's on city sewer and city water. It's not a concern for those properties. So from Cagle Acres, maybe they would never, it would be a relief because they would never have to worry about, ever have to worry about those issues. Because if they got city water and city sewer, they wouldn't have to worry about it. That would not be a cost to present into them. And the way we try to present water and sewer is we go in there, the only cost to the hookup person is the cost to get the water and sewer from the edge of their property line to their house. That is the only cost they incur, which is substantially less than $20,000 per acre or per lot. I can tell you that. So that would be the cost to the homeowner, would be the cost of getting water and sewer from their property to their house. Everything else, the meter would be there and everything else would be there.
And he knew that himself.
Yep, and they can do it by law, they can do it by themselves. They don't have to hire a plumber if they can, like, they can do it themselves. So, you know, we would not unnecessarily burden the landowner out there. We, you know, in these projects, you can choose to have SDPs administered that at the moment you decide to annex them and it happens. You could charge that. You don't have to go the route we're going. You could charge a hookup fee to them. We chose not to go that route. We choose to make it at least effective monetarily and you know, we're getting something done as we can. You know, obviously we know that not everybody would be happy with the decision, but we feel like, you know, trying to match the city limits is a good idea. So, that's where I've been. Any others?
In the process, you mentioned that, you know, there's a possibility the work could even be done by within a year.
Yeah, I've talked to Dick, and he thinks if the money is released and we can go to bid by June-ish, that we could probably complete this project in 6 to 8 months. It's not a very big project in comparison to what we did in the whole city, which took about 8 months to a year-ish range.
Well, with the idea that, you know, now is a good time to get, you know, cheaper money and possibly lower construction costs and all those things. So that proves that to be a value to the users. Mm-hmm. Would it be, do you think that possibly the city and the board, the districts, could come to an agreement of targeting a goal of about that time, going ahead with the withdrawal process and giving the city the oversight so that we could target that in conjunction with that completion, so that we could,
yeah, I understand,
you know, that
saying.
Might be a good win-win-win scenario.
I think it's something we could talk about. Obviously, there is some constraints that we have to follow via the federal government. One thing is, in the midst of our construction, we cannot be in the midst of withdrawal. The project has to be completed before the withdrawal can take place.
But can you not have a target date everybody agrees on, even?
That I would have to get back to you for sure, because the federal government is kind of tricky on those things. Sometimes they just want certain things a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be truthful, the best answer would be to get it to meet with Pam Squire. And if you would like to do that, we could arrange maybe a meeting with Pam Squire, maybe here, and have her come and talk to you guys about this stuff. She's the one that works with the USDA and all the funding, and she could be the one that would answer it, you know, that would be the, she'd be the one that could answer that for sure. I do know that we can't be in the midst of the withdrawal during the construction phase, and it has to be complete. That I do know. Whether what kind of agreements we can have, maybe she says there's none. I mean, no restrictions. I don't know. That's a possibility, and it's something maybe we could meet with her and have that discussion.
I think first we would have to overcome the hurdle of what to assess whether or not the cable subdivision would be the most beneficial for the community.
Yeah.
I'm not really convinced of that. I think that you have many many tax locks that are not hooked onto the sewer. How many tax locks are not hooked onto the sewer and water?
In cable?
No, in the city.
Oh, in the city? There's probably a fair amount, but there's quite a few that are. The most biggest,
right.
I would assume.
So I think that the most impact, if you were so concerned about public health, is that you would probably want to do that first
I think you're confused. Everybody has the right to water that's already in this, and that's in the water right now. The only lots that aren't hooked up are the ones that aren't built.
I'm not confused. Yeah. I think that the public, if your concern is public safety, I think that the greater impact would be to work within the city on a wider range than just to specifically work on one subdivision.
And nobody in the city, nobody in the sewer district is mandated to be hooked up. There's nobody that's not hooked up to the sewer.
Well, if you're claiming a public hazard or a health hazard, I'm pretty sure that would probably fall pretty quickly.
I guess I don't understand what you're trying to say. but everybody within the sewer district is hooked to the sewer. That was mandated by the government.
There's nobody not hooked up unless the lot was never built on.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody that has a house here is hooked up to the sewer.
Within the city limits?
Yes, except for Cato Lakers.
Within the district boundaries, not the city.
Yeah, within the boundaries, yeah.
Within the sewer and water boundaries.
And Cato is not in our boundaries. And that's what we're asking that is, so our boundaries would match the city's. And therefore, everybody in the city would have the same services.
Okay, so then maybe you can send those statistics to our city manager.
Oh.
Are you interested to see that?
Stu, you have a question?
I just want to make, you know, Brian and I did talk this afternoon as representatives of our respective organizations. And I conveyed to Brian that the city's goal, as outlined, is to bring all services under one roof within a year. And whether that, you know, the construction of Cago is in that 1 year or not, the target goal is within a year. We talked about the sewer, the water, roads, all those public services being brought into basically one-stop shopping. Mm-hmm. So if someone with a house or a contractor comes in, they just have to come to one place instead of them going to the county for a building permit and then having to go to the water and the sewer for a permit. It's all been in one location.
And I think you're I think it's what belongs, and so does everybody on the water and the sewer board. But I think your time is a little quick. I think there's other more important things to the city council, I hope, than the water and the sewer, because the water and sewer is doing its job, it's being taken care of, but there's lots of things within the city boundary that's not as well taken care of. So the water and sewer, as far as this board and the water board, we all agree it belongs in this city, part of this city. But I hear there's more other important things right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I agree, you know, 5-6 years ago when the city was incorporated, I agree 100%. The city had no idea of what was out there as far as taking on the water and sewer. But I think, and we're not talking this happening tomorrow. You know, it's still a year or so out there. But the process needs to start ASAP. So it can happen in that year plus. And that's all I think that the city is trying to bring forward is let's get everything in order so that a year from now that can take place. I think in a year from now the city's going to be in a very good position to take it all on. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it tonight, as far as I'm concerned, one of the big things Brian and I talked about is the fear of everyone in change. Well, from my standpoint, nothing as far as policy, employees, any of that at those two districts will change, because they know the system, you guys know the board and the policies, because you're the ones that set the policies. So we're inviting you to join us in continuing that. It's just we need to start planning now for that year out there. And that's my thought.
If I heard you right, you said that when the sewer system went in, it was mandated that everyone in the city had to attach to the
right.
sewer. So that means that if you put water and sewer in Cato right now, that everybody there is going to have to, too. They'll have to go with the same mandate.
That's right.
Sewer and water are slightly different, though. Water,
they would not, they probably would not have to hook up. But what you do is when you choose not to hook up to water,
you pay.
You're going to pay later on when you do. You're going to pay an SDC fee. So if you hook up right away to the water, then you never pay that SDC fee.
You pay the monthly bill, though, even if you don't hook up.
No, you would have no service. I don't think they do. Do they?
You can pay a monthly bill and hook up later and not pay SDCs. But if you choose to hook up down the road, then you're foregoing that and you pay an SDC charge.
Not pay the monthly bill.
But so I hear you're saying that you do not have to pay. You have an issue if you hook up now. There's no SDC.
Yes.
If I hook up later, I pay an SDC.
Exactly.
If I don't hook up now, do I pay the $30?
Only if you want to forego the SDC down the road. You can pay the SDC and not hook up. As long as you pay the monthly payment, but don't hook up, you don't have to pay the SDC.
So I'm going to have to pay an SDC now or...
No, not now. What happens now is when we bring water down the road, you have a choice, hook up or not, right? If you hook up, it's only the cost to go from the street to your house, and you begin to pay the bill. If you decide, I don't want to hook up and I don't want to pay the monthly bill, then down the road, 10 years from now, you decide your well goes belly up and you say, well, it's a $10,000 bill to fix my well.
Right.
I'd rather just hook up to the city water and pay the $30 a month. Now you're going to pay that SDC charge, whatever it is, at that time, and that's what you'll pay, plus you'll begin to pay the monthly fee.
When they figured this pro forma then, since they haven't went out and actually got people to sign something, do they know what if half the people... Yeah. Won't hook up to water because they're happy with their wells, or three quarters of the people don't hook up. You now have this $5 million debt, but you have no one paying in.
That's a lot of if. They did that here too, and almost everybody hooked up too. So,
but don't short shift the if. This is a pro forma. I'm just trying to figure out if you got 100 houses and each house is going to pay $30 a month. You can figure your income and you figure your debt service. So when someone says, "Well, we only have to raise rates in the whole city a buck or two, maybe." That is that based on 80% of those people hooking up, 100%? What if half the houses don't hook up? Then everyone else is in town rate.
I think you've got two different issues here. One issue is the sewer goes down the road. First of all, you don't have a choice.
Okay, right.
Sewer's no choice. So water could be a choice. But what we found in our experience is that people hook up. I mean, the water's going by, it's cheap water.
I don't know if they figured 100% of the people hooking up.
I don't know, and I don't think so. Dick always never...
That I'd like to know the number of what he figured.
Dick never figures high. I mean, he figures low on that stuff and high on the figures. So when he's doing his stuff, the cost he figures high, the intake he figures low. So he always figures it high and low, so when it comes out, you're probably better off than you thought you were going to be. That's the way we've always done the numbers when we ran them. To protect ourselves. If you figure high and you estimate low, then you're probably going to be better off than you were before. But the problem is people can still keep their wells and irrigate with it. So they're never gonna, they can prevent overages, for one, because they can irrigate with their wells, so they can keep their lawns and not be a threat, like many cities where you have to pay to water your lawn, and it's expensive. You go to Portland or something and try to water your lawn. That's why you see it go dormant in the summer because people don't want to pay it. In our district, you have the option of using your well to water your lawns. And you don't pay anything but what you would normally pay before. And so, like I said, we try to limit the cost and the effect on the landowner as much as possible. You know, because we could come in and say, you know what, the wells are going to be turned off and that's it. That's what we could have done originally here in the city, in the district we have now. But we chose not to do that. You know? So I'm not concerned at all whether it can be paid back and at what cost, because as far as I'm concerned, even if there was a little bit of a raise, it would be very minimal. Our goal would be not to raise at all. I mean, that's always our goal. But I'm not concerned about whether we can pay it back or not. That's not my concern. In the future, the water district will always have enough money to pay its debts.
But the city's going to assume these someday. We are going to be concerned.
But you will always have enough money. Right now, we have more than enough money to pay our debts. We've never had an issue. And if you took it over as is, you would never have an issue paying your debt either. That I can guarantee you. From the numbers I've seen, I've been on it 10 years, and that has never been a problem to pay our bills. I mean, we've never been late on anything. We pay exactly what we owe. In fact, we're ahead of schedule on paying back. We have to have a 10-year, you know, supply of money in the bank to pay back. We're ahead of schedule on that. And we've done very fiscally. We have plenty of money in SDCs. And we've set money back in reserves, even more so than recommended by law.
And so I would say that both districts are in very good shape, and I think the city would have no problem when they got it, that it would maintain itself. And we hope, our hope is that we've set enough money aside for the future, so when things like Ben's having problems right now, that wouldn't be a problem for the Pine, that we would be ready for it. And we've already set the money aside to meet those demands later on. We've upsized lines when we didn't have to. We've gone our way to make sure that things are in place for 20, 30 years from now. We'd love to build another well at this time. We hope that BioGreen goes through, because if that's what happened, that's one of our plans, is to build a well, therefore increasing our capacity and having, you know, maybe a 30 or 40 year outlook, you know. So our goal is to provide, like I said, water at the lowest cost, also balancing the future at the same time. And, you know, it's a great we can do that because we have a narrow focus. You guys have much more on your plates than we have. We have to worry about one, the district I'm on, we have to worry about one thing, whether we have water for today, tomorrow, and for the future, and at what cost we can provide it, you know.
Getting back to the sewer, once you get the line put in, and everybody in Cable Subdivision is going to be required to go onto the sewer.
That's my question, but you're asking really the wrong question. I don't know that answer.
Well, what I'm asking is, if that is the case, how much is each property owner going to have to pay?
What's the present fee for, is it
27.34 per month. That's $22 for sewer.
$24 for sewer.
Okay.
That includes the installation and everything?
The $24 a month is your fee. The installation is only the cost to get from the your property line to your house, and that's upon the homeowner.
Is there anybody in here that lives in Cable Subdivision? Would it be possible to listen to one to them
sure,
or what they think about it before we vote?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously it's one person, but they're welcome to have their opinion. We took a poll one time, you know. So if they'd like to say something, I'd perfectly happy to hear it. Yes, sir.
Is it permissible for me to speak?
Sure. Name and
Douglas Ward. I live at 52657 Pine Drive in the Cable Subdivision in the top northwest, almost the top northwest corner of the map. I've been there 15 years. I heard you speak about DEQ putting out some kind of a blanket health hazard. Let me finish. Okay, whatever you said. There has never been in 15 years a government agency test the water in Cable Subdivision. All the water has been tested by well drillers who test the water and give the results to the person who lives at the location. Every test has come back, that water is pure, clean, no nitrates. So that DEQ thing, that's just a political thing on DEQ to scare the people out of Day Road. That's all that is. Now, my neighbors tell me they're not real big on having sewer and water for two reasons. They don't know how much it's going to cost, and they were told 4.5 years ago, in a roundabout fashion, when we were starting incorporation, that they were going to get, not pay for, get sewer and water. Now they're reading in the paper that rates might go up, and they're going to have to pay to have it hooked up. They're not real happy about it.
Yeah.
You did a survey 2 years ago, by mail, of everybody who lives there. You never made the survey public. Now you've said, well, it's maybe 50% want it. Maybe. How close to 50% really do want it? I think you should do another survey and make the results public. I filled out the paper. My neighbors filled it out. But you never told anybody what the results were. Now you're telling the council, well, half the people do, half the people don't. Maybe.
I said it was mixed.
Yeah, I know. You really don't know what the percentage was.
Well, I figured, but I know it was...
I know, sitting here right now, you don't know. And I'm not trying to be argumentative. Yeah. I'm just telling you what the people in my neighborhood feel.
Yeah.
And they're the people that have to pay the bill. They're the people that elected the council.
Yeah.
And we should have a little bit more to say about what's happening with our own property than really what we do.
I agree.
I am of the opinion that the city should be running the whole thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I do understand what you're saying, and you know, I wish we all had a choice, but you know, I didn't have a choice when I bought the city, and neither did the guy that bought it, but I owned it before me. He was told he was going to hook up to sewer, and he had no choice. So sometimes it happens that way. But I can assure you there will be no hookup costs. The cost will be just the cost for you to get the water line from your property to the city. There's no $5,000 cost, no $10,000, there's nothing like that.
Is it sewer water done at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Bob, do you have any further questions?
Well,
no, but it appears to me like, I don't know, if I lived in Cagle subdivision, I'd be very hesitant to say I'd want to just up and start paying some money. I really feel too that we need to know what the people in Cagle subdivision actually feel. Mm-hmm. I mean everybody that owns a piece of property out there, we need to know what their opinion is. Until we find that out for sure, I don't feel like I could in conscience vote for it. That's my personal opinion.
Well, recognize you're not going to vote for anything today. I could get that poll for you. I mean, I think I can get it for you. I think it's one that's probably, and I could get that for you. Obviously, you may want to do no poll. I think some of the voting that took place was obviously by people that had land that were looking for development prospects, and at that time, you know, they probably owned the land, and that's maybe why it was higher than what he feels his neighbors think it is. Because when you're dealing with people that want land to be developed, they obviously want sewer and water because it increases the value of their land and increases a project like that. So, I mean, you know, back then I think we were dealing with a lot of people that had vacant lots that wanted to develop their land, and that's why they were for it. Anything else, Doug?
Well, I just want you to know that we are on sewer and water both, and it seems to me like we pull the chain. Yeah. Something leaves, and when we turn the faucet on, it comes in.
You're absolutely right. That's what happens. And you know, and I can understand. You know, I understand the same way, because you know, I have a land. I paid as a business owner. I pay one of the bigger bills for water and sewer as anybody in this room. I guarantee you, there's probably not many that pay more, unless the Bingo Pine School District are here tonight. And maybe Mid-State, he's here, he might pay a little bit more than that, but I'm not even sure. I'll let you know. I pay approximately $1,600 a month for water and sewer. Warren Roberts, when I bought the property for him, didn't really like that idea when they brought that cost to him. But he knew that the only way that Lapine would get better is if he bore that cost. And that's what happened. And you know, and I paid it, and since I bought it, I paid it every month, on time, religiously. I pay that bill. You know, and everybody in this city benefits because I pay my bill on time every month. You know.
Thank you, Brian. One of the things I like the idea of you going out and doing another survey. I think that's fair. We're looking at something 2 years ago. It's a different property time. I own property within the city. So I think another. Survey to, and making it public is a just and fair thing you ought to go off and do. One of the points is that you keep talking about Cagle subdivision. It's not the only part of the city that's out of sewer and water that's not getting that's in the districts that is not getting sewer and water.
What else is not getting sewer and water?
I live in Glenwood Acres. And we don't get sewer and water.
Oh, you mean right across Burgess there?
That's not Cagle.
I know. It's right across there.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you know, people wanted to hook up, and we tried to advocate for that, but they wouldn't let us do it. When we went by down with the road there, recently when we were down there.
Well, I know they sent out a survey.
Yeah.
That survey came out a couple years ago about that, and I got the survey, everyone, you know, we've only got, there's only 35 lots in there, and they, you're right, they didn't want it based upon one specific reason.
Yeah.
The survey was very limited in how it presented itself, with no idea about how much money it was going to cost. It didn't say, do you want sewer and water?
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, what's it going to cost me? I've already got a sewer tank, and I've got a well. And if I don't have to go to sewer and water, I don't have to pay.
Hmm.
And I think the first people that have the problem there is our seniors.
Hmm.
Now, the reason I think that a survey should be done, and I think it ought to be a broad survey that explains that based upon the loans that you get from the USDA, they stipulate that when you're doing this, as I understand,
they can't be charged SDCs. They're actually grandfathered in to get it. And the only thing they have to pay is from the street to their house. When you lay that on some seniors, that's still a significant issue with them, okay? So I think a survey that's broader actually asks some questions that can give them a better way to answer is appropriate for you guys to do.
I don't have a problem putting that together.
But every time you hear this, you hear about Kegel and you don't hear about...
And we tried to... We had people wanting... Some people came to us and said they would like to hook up in your son, and some didn't, I guess. And we looked into the prospect. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. I mean, we would have been more glad to do it.
So you're saying that is off the table? It's just Kegel we're talking about?
Well, I don't know. Did they include that part? I don't think it is. It's just Kegel Acres, right?
I think right now it's just Kegel.
Yeah. I mean, we would love to service water to those people if they would have it.
We paid money extra to cross some streets, if you'll notice, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, the contractor, they put it across so that won't have to be dug up again. All they have to do is hook on and make the loop.
Yeah. Well, we prepared to do that. I mean, we'd be willing to do it. I mean, obviously, that's another issue. You know, our goal was to meet the city limits as the best we could, so the city limits and the water place are the same.
Yeah. Well, the last time that I heard any comments was from Donna was that was part of the plan. And, you know...
I'll have to double check. It could be.
But Donna would be the one that would know the answer.
But in the future, let's talk about both of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well,
I'm interested because
it's in fact is in there. Because this says Kegel Acre Annexation.
Okay.
So that's why I say I'm aware of Kegel Acres because that's what this is called. I can find out exactly for sure.
Well, there's something you can bring back.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in it, and I think it's fair to the rest of those citizens that live in that area.
Did you look in the back and see where, isn't it back here showing it?
You know, you're speaking of the seniors, and that is it's a burden. But, you know, a lot of seniors have got family or kids or something that could help put 100 foot or 50 foot of ditch from the street in.
Jim, you're right. There's no doubt that people have access to help and stuff like
As long as they're doing it with them right there, you know what I mean? They're allowed to do that.
I guess, thank you. And I guess what I'd like to do right now is I have reservations about it strictly because I think that with the city managing sewer and water, we're not inventing a new whole system with the city taking over. We're actually stepping in to be the managers. It's just like an example that I had explained to him is like a bank. When another bank takes over, you go in the next day and you've still got your checking account. You've still got you've still got every aspect of banking. It'll be the same way with sewer and water. When the city takes over, the same people will be there. The same rules will be in place. The water will be turned on and the toilets will flush. And just having said that, I've got a list of things here I'd like to go down. Community benefits of consolidated public works departments. Sewer, water, roads, stormwater, and sidewalks. The community will benefit in several areas when the assumption is complete and it has been fully implemented. And here's a partial list of them. All infrastructure systems are planned into one coordinating zoning code. Planning is managed to reduce infrastructure costs for all ratepayers and taxpayers. Eliminates the expense and duplication of 3 elections, 3 boards, and 3 audits. Business-friendly policies and the attitude that supports new family wage jobs. Coordinating with the Chamber of Commerce, Lapine Industrial Group, and EDCO on utility issues. Streamlining permitting process for roads, water, sewer, zoning, and planning issues. And I'll expand on that to say that if you just look at the issues that come up when a business comes into town and wants to open a business or wants to consider a business in this very highly competitive era and time that we live in, when other areas have this one-stop shopping, you will find them really perplexed in the fact that they've got to deal with three organizations just to get a business going. Public Works Advisory Committee that will increase public involvement and oversight. You know, again, we have asked Sewer and Water to join our utility committee and to come. I have reservations around the fact that I can't say that I've felt at any time there was a friendliness of working together and a camaraderie and, hey, this is for the citizens, let's go do this. Because I just haven't felt that up until you know, this point in time. And the retention of most current employees, facilities, and equipment, assuring no disruption in service, back to turning the water on and flushing the toilets. And it'll be a full utilization of employees and equipment to reduce duplication in public service. So what I'm talking about there is once Sewer and Water, the city withdraws from Sewer and Water, and we take that over as a city organization being in control, you will have that greater, and you can't minimize the financial advantage to having available those individuals in Sewer and Water and the equipment that could be used for other things at the times that they're not currently being utilized. And so this is just an outline that I can't get past personally. I have a problem getting past the idea that everything's going to be the same. Everything's going to be operated the same way. It's just going to be a public works group that we would welcome Sewer and Water's board and people who have the experience, you know, in involved in that committee or that department to run Sewer and Water. So,
I know maybe you feel that way, but I don't think I've ever expressed any difference than what you heard tonight. That every time I've been here, I've said that I think that this would be a good thing. I've never been against it. I've never been opposed to it.
And let me just say, you're right. I cannot say that of you.
Yeah. And all those things you wrote down are very good examples of how it could be better. And I thought of those myself. And I think Stu and I had this conversation. And I mentioned some of those things, and he didn't even have to tell me. You know, you know, I have thought of those too. You know, and I recognize the greater benefit sometimes is, you know, unfortunately, in bigger organizations because you can utilize things that much better. And so I'm not opposed to it all. I think really what the Water District would like to do is to complete the project that they've started many years ago, to fulfill as much the city, providing the city limits, matching the districts so they're the same. Because obviously when you guys became a city, one of your goals was to provide everybody in the city with a certain amount of services. And one of those services you said was water and sewer. And so that's why we have attempted this project, just because we felt like we were going to help you guys fulfill a purpose you guys had originally. And that is the only reason why we ever started this project 2 or 3 years ago, was because we thought it was in the best interest of the city of La Pine.
Okay, so Stu, sorry, Brian.
Yeah.
But when you say we...
Well, I mean the city.
The citizens the incorporated area said, we want water and sewer from the city.
Yeah.
Not us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there wasn't a thing that they would provide some services. And obviously, two of the services that the city currently makes an IGA with the Water District and the Sewer District to provide is water and sewer. It's currently a service provided in the city, except for in where you live, in Glenwood Meadows,
Acres,
and Cahill Acres. That's the only place in the city that is not provided.
And Third Street.
And Third Street. And well, how far down Third Street? Just that little section?
Yeah. The little section.
We can't afford a stick of you. You know, and you know, we hope that would be a benefit to the city of La Pine, and we hope that would make your guys easier, because now you guys could say everybody in the city of La Pine has the same services at their disposal.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this project shovel ready?
We believe that if the money is issued, like we've been told, we're at a one-stop shop. We believe that we could start obtaining that money, the money in the next couple months. We believe we could go to bid by June or July. And we would hope that we could be done with the project by next January. Now, obviously, we need to get some real confirmation from the USDA. We're going to have another meeting real soon. Obviously, we need them to commit the funds. One of the things that held us up now, or a couple things held us up, is they want to know for sure that we're going to be intact as an entity until the project's complete. They want to know that. They cannot go forward unless that is guaranteed. We need the comprehensive plan of the city to fulfill the requirements of having the project go ahead. And I understand you guys are done with it, or close, or it's all ready to go?
Done with
the
what?
Comp plan?
Well, it is basically, however, the state is not approving it at this point. Yeah. So,
and I don't know how that affects us. Maybe because you have the information is what we needed. I'm not really sure. But that was part of it. That's what held us up, because we were prepared to move a little farther about a year ago. But the comprehensive plan wasn't at that
point. They're going to approve parts of it, but not parts of it.
And, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
And maybe that'll be sufficient. That was what held us up a year ago from going farther at this point. We had some plans of moving farther earlier ahead. And when the comprehensive plan wasn't done, we had to wait. And we recognized you guys were working hard, and we said, okay, we'll let the city do their thing. They've got work to do, and we recognize that. So we did that. When we got the information we needed, we proceeded ahead again. And so those are the things that if they're in line and we go to the one-stop shop meeting, I think that there's a good chance.
So Rick, could you kind of elaborate on what your research has found, how the annexation now would, what the allowing this annexation would do to our annexing the water and sewer district?
I think what you want to know, Brian has said, the USDA will not allow, they won't give the grant loans unless the districts are basically do this from one end, start to finish.
Yes.
And close it out. So that means after it's all done, and everything, then it's a closeout period of time, and it's when they get to their paperwork, and that can take months. So I think the reality is this, that and Dick and I sat right here and talked about timelines 4 months ago, and that's probably frustrating to me, is I've been here now 7 or 8 months. You know, if we had started this back in July and actually had moved forward, then we could have this, you would have this thing done by the time we would like to take over on January 1st, because that would have been a year and a half out. Now we're down to a year. It just keeps shrinking. But at that time, and you had basically the winter, right this time right now, he would be literally engineering it so that come March, April, they could start, because he needed 6 months to engineer it. And they needed, they said it could take parts of a second construction season. They couldn't necessarily do it in, because of the winter here, you can't do it this in the winter. So it was like it's really an 18-month could. And I asked him, I said, can you tell me that you can get this engineered and constructed, forget even the closeout, in 18 months? And the answer was, I don't know. So you really have to figure it as a couple years. Because we are now sitting here, moving in, February's coming up. If it's going to take them till July to engineer it, that's not even 6 months, but just say July. Then you have to prepare the bid documents, and you can't prepare bid documents until it's engineered, because you can't ask someone to bid on it till you know what they're going to build. That is a process. So then by the time you award the bid, we're into September at best. Then you've only got a couple, 3 months to winter. So you're going to get the project half built. Then you got to wait till March or April again. Then you start going, and so now you're in the summer of 2012. Then you're going to take 6 months, up to 6 months, whatever, to close it out. It's not done in 30 days. So now you're kind of all through 2012. And then this is one that bugs me. You need to be aware of. Then it gets into this discussion. They won't start doing the withdrawal until the project's done. Pam Swires and your folks have said it's going to take a year to do the withdrawal after they start it. So then now we got to add a year. If it can't start till you're done, now you got to add another year to that. Now we're spending all of 2013. We're just in January of 11. Now we're heading into 13 and 14. This is a 3-year process. if you move this forward. And I think the city has made it pretty clear, the old council, the new council, that they intend to have the withdrawal effective January 1st, a year from now. Now, obviously, if it's the 15th, that's fine. I mean, you know, but basically a year from now, not 3 years. The funding isn't guaranteed. They just said we might do it. That's got to be formalized. There's a lot of things. If this is not within your current boundaries, it would be highly unusual for a city to have a special district grow, annex, and enlarge inside their boundaries. The city has now been created. Sewer and water is a responsibility that the city gets to decide how it's done by law. And that's why under Oregon law, cities can withdraw. The city council has made it clear they want to assume those duties. It makes no sense to allow the districts to now move forward on a process that's going to take 2 or 3 years. And I think lastly, the city council, I think Doug said, they have been elected by all the city residents. You're elected by the people within this little boundary. And they do need to know, is the income going to match the payments? Because if it doesn't, everybody's got to pay. And they do have to know all of that. And they have been elected by everybody in this city. It's up to them to decide where the sewer water is expanded, the timelines it's expanded, the policies and costs of how it's all done. The city has now been incorporated, and its responsibility is going to transfer to the city. The districts will step aside, and that's kind of how it.
Do you think the federal government would let you do something if you weren't going to pay for it?
What's that?
Do you think the federal government would let you do something if you weren't going to pay for it? They want their money back. So I think it's atrocious to say that we don't know these things, because we've done it before and it's worked out very well before. In fact, the Wiki Adjustment Project actually. And it gave us more flexibility and allowed us not to raise rates, because we actually ended up doing it for less than the cost of the loan, and therefore we generate more revenue, keeping down costs and providing a better service.
Well, I don't want to get into a debate here, because I listened to the engineer.
Yeah. And we could have him back, but I talked to him 2 days ago, less than a week ago on the phone, and he felt like if we had the next meeting with USDA and it all went well, that it's possible we could have it complete by next year. You say 3 years, I say one year to 14 months. I always add 2 to 3 months onto whatever an engineer says, because they're like anybody else.
But we're not that far off, because if you take 14 months and then take 6 months to close it out, that's 20 months, and then it takes a year
It didn't take us 6 months to close out the last one, so.
If Pam Swire, I mean, again,
I don't remember taking 6 months to close out the last one. It didn't take that long, so. I mean, obviously, you're right, it has to be final. It has to be accepted. The project has to be done, and they have to say it's done to close it out. You're right about that. And that's when the withdrawal process would start.
And the city, it's ultimately the city's responsibility into the future to decide when and if Cagle gets services. It's up to these people that have been elected by the people in Cagle subdivision and the rest of the community. It's their call. They get to make it. And we don't need to vote, because we don't vote at work sessions anyway. You've already voted at a meeting. We sent a letter to the county that said you had me send it, and that you aren't supporting the annexation of Cagle.
I'd like to make a point there. I don't see how you could vote on something that's never presented to you. This is the first time we've ever presented an annexation for Cagle, so therefore you couldn't have voted on something we never asked for yet.
But they have voted on it. They don't support the
annexation. The problem is, we never brought it before the board.
But you talked about it at your board.
I know, but how do you vote on something when you have no facts and you don't have the information out here? How do you vote on that and present it to Deschutes County and have never saw this, the application for annexation, with all the facts, with all the information? That's my question.
Well, if I may, I really think that part of it, there's a lot of ifs in here. I think it has been talked about extensively at meetings, and the general idea has always been that you guys wanted to go forward with the annexation. The very fact that you want to go forward with the annexation is totally outside of what this council feels is the time that we want to withdraw. Therefore, we feel that we want to decide when we move into annexing, or not annexing, because we won't have to annex it. We won't have to go through all this process. It's going to be part of our city, and we can just build out as we want to. And the only thing we have to worry about is going out and finding the financing. So from that aspect, it fits in our purview, the previous council and this council, to have said we don't support the cable annexation.
Well, like I said, we never presented it to you before, so that's why I say this is something we have to do. We have to present it. That's what
we appreciate you bringing it.
That's what we're about. And you know, we understand that. All we're trying to say is we've worked on it very hard for 3 years. We think we found a low cost way to do it without raising any cost, providing still a cheap water and a cheap sewer service to the people there and in the existing district. That's all we're saying. You're right. You do not have to okay it. You can vote it down again. And then it will go to Deschutes County, and they'll make a decision. They'll do whatever they want to do with it. If that's the process, and if that's what happens, then that would be fair enough for us.
Okay.
All we're asking is for it to be submitted, and if that's the way it's voted on, then we'll accept it. We cannot do anything more than do our due diligence and present the project that we've been working on for 3 years, show how it would be a benefit to the city, a benefit to the people in that place, and you know, hopefully a benefit to any other concerns, and at the cheapest cost. Remember, we're always about doing it at the cheapest cost and not raising rates and finding a way to get people in that can get good water and sewer service, not have to worry about pumping their tanks and paying for it. Because once you're hooked up to the sewer, you never again pay to have your sewer tank pumped. It's covered. You know, and if you have a problem with your water, somebody comes down and helps you with it. And maybe their well's perfectly fine. I got 3 wells that are perfectly fine. I irrigate lawns with them. So, you know, that's all we're asking, is it to be considered. And, you know, I will do my part and go back, and if you like, we'll try to get a survey done.
You know what I would like to say, and I won't speak for the council because mm-hmm. we'll ask each one, but I would like to hope that I could speak in the frame of the council, in that I really appreciate your comments right here. I think it's the first level of basic stepping forward presentation a council has heard, and that, you know, we're bringing it here as our due diligence. We would like for you to consider it. We know you've done it, you voted it down before, but look at it, and if you vote it down again, that's how it's going to go. Those are kind, that's a presentation for me that is very responsible and very cooperative in setting and doing dialogue between the two organizations. And I tell you, I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
I really do.
And I hope that is my goal, is to be cooperative and help out.
I see it by it being here, and I would ask you that this would come up again at a council meeting.
It can come up in February if you want it on the agenda to vote on it.
I would just ask for an idea across the board of it.
Of you mean of moving it forward, or
no? Speaking to it again.
Well, I'm like you. I appreciate the depth in the presentation and working with you guys. But I think that, you know, I still believe that, you know, we need to move this on. You know, you mentioned that the city has lots of things to do, and we do, and we want to get at least this on a track. And so I think we need to continue, you know, moving down that track, and so I'm really not changing where I'm at on it, because okay. I feel like we need to.
I mean, if there's no support,
yeah,
it's just busy work then in yeah. 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, you know, you've already voted. You're saying that you support it.
Yeah.
So I mean, whatever you want, doesn't matter. We can put it on the agenda, you can vote again, or, well, you know, that just delays it another 2 or 3 weeks for them.
I think you guys do need to vote on this. We presented it as a district, and I think by law it has to be voted on. I think it has something you guys
can. I'm okay with moving it forward.
I think you do. I mean, I'm not real sure about this, but I think because we presented it, has to be, I think.
And I'll make it brief. Yeah. Is that the council did vote on it, I think, a number of times. 3 times you were told no. Yeah. And just because you have moved forward with it, I mean, you know, in spite of the council never agreeing to this annexation, just because you have moved the project forward after being told no, I'm not for voting.
Sorry, but we never requested a vote on it, and we never brought an annexation before this board before, and we never asked for a vote on it. You guys did that on your own part when you were under the impression that we wanted to do it. But we never brought this before you once. We never talked to you about it. This is the first time that we brought an annexation proposal to you guys.
Well, and I signed a very strongly worded letter, and I stand behind that letter that was presented to you. If I signed the letter, I read it, and I do stand behind it.
Well, I don't know which letter you're referring to, but we never got a vote on this.
The one that was handed to you at the last council meeting.
Yeah. Yes, I read that, but it had nothing to do with cable annexation.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Stu, any further comments?
I just want to reiterate that, you know, I'd like to keep working with both of you, and that as far as employment with the employees, you know, it's still there, but I'd like us to look that 1 year time period.
Don?
Well, for me personally, one of the reasons we voted the way we did is because it was the opinion of the council that we wanted to move forward and absorb the districts by the end of this year, so that by January 1st of 2012, they would be under city control. And it was our opinion that if you move forward with this, there's no way we could meet that timeline. And therefore, we asked and requested the cooperation of both districts to move forward. And that's why we voted, if I'm not mistaken, and I think, Adele, you'll agree with that, that's why we voted. It doesn't make any difference. This document, to me, doesn't make any difference. We, the council at that time, was wanted to move forward and complete the absorption by the end of this year. That was the whole idea, and that's why we voted that way, and that's why we kept the councilors elect informed as to what was going on, and basically they concurred in all the steps that we made. So it's not going to change my vote.
All right, thank you. I guess I could finish by saying that I agree with Don. I agree here that we voted on this already. I don't see the need that we need to do it. There is not a consensus here at the table that we do it again. But I will again say to you that I do appreciate you coming and sitting down. You brought some very good information forward. I think it's the kind of information that will allow us to put in a framework of mind as we go forward in this withdrawal to meet our deadline, which is a committed board council stated deadline of 31 December, of answering the kinds of questions or answering the kinds of ideas that we know what we're doing, you know, that we do our due diligence. This is a good presentation that speaks to that, and I appreciate you both coming.
And again, you know, I'd be happy to meet with any of you if you have questions or concerns. Adele, if you have something you'd really like concerns you'd like addressed, I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss it. I have no problem with that. I'm more than willing to be free. All the information, everything that happens at the Water District are public information, and they're free to everybody. I think that all the Water District Association would request on this letter is that you give us that letter then. I was never given the letter on voting down Cable Acres. It was never passed on to me, and I don't know if it was passed on to the water district formally. That's why we had to present this. So
I'm sure that the city
you obviously don't have a vote on what he has specifically right there. I mean, this is wordsmithing. I mean, I have attended 6 months worth of their meetings. They hired an engineer for this job. We raised questions on it. They pulled it from the agenda. It came back 60 days later. This isn't like, you know, we were at the coffee shop and just kind of heard they might be moving forward on this. They officially have had vote after vote, and we made it clear to Donna, to everyone that will listen, that we're going to withdraw. B, we're not supportive of the annexation. Now, so I mean, you could come back 2 months from now with another letter. The fact is, we have said it in every way we can, and so have we voted on this letter? Obviously not.
Did you ever vote on Cagle annexation when we presented it to you?
They aren't. They have said they are not going to support an annexation.
I know that's not. The question is, did we ever bring it as a board?
I don't understand what's the issue. They're telling you they don't support.
I understand it, and they're welcome to vote no. Well, that's all I'm saying.
You don't need to tell them.
We never presented it to you before. That's all I'm saying.
But they're telling you no.
And that's fine. They're welcome. You know what? That's the way it works. There's a council, and they're welcome to vote any way they choose. I just want them to recognize that we never brought this proposal to the table. We have never been here with an annexation proposal. And so if you want to get the same letter out that I didn't get, that would be great. That would be all we ask. If that's the board feels like it's appropriate, that's all we ask. We don't ask anything more than that. I'm not saying they have to vote. They don't have to do anything they don't want to. It's their board. But we have never brought this before you, and we never asked you to vote on it.
I guess I can say that from what we've heard here tonight, that there is not a feeling here that we need to vote. We feel, if I can say these words for everybody, that we have made our positions clear over a long period of time, and I don't see a vote coming.
But, and that's fine.
Okay.
You see, the thing is, we never got the letter that said that you weren't going to annex, that you opposed Cagle annexation, because we never brought it to you, so you never addressed it to us, because we never brought it before you. You did it on the information when we were in it, like you said in our meetings. We discussed it, and we've been moving forward for 3 years. So it's not like we started moving forward 6 months when he got there. It's not as if we just began this process.
Well, Brian, I think what going back in one of your statements about that, you know, it's our privilege to vote or not, and that's what you said. You know, you're right. I don't think we feel we need to vote on it.
Yeah. And if you don't, then we need the information that was never relayed to us. Then that's what we need then. Because see, we weren't given the information that you did vote on it in this fashion.
Well, we made out a letter to the county that said the council voted to not support this, and we recommended the county not support it.
Yeah.
I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, but I actually think I CC'd Donna and CC'd your attorney.
Yeah.
So you got the letter, and that was over a month ago or a few weeks ago. You have the letter.
You took a few minutes, and that's your last meeting.
Well,
letter.
I may have got it, but here's the point, is we never brought this proposal. That's all about.
No, we don't have a letter since you just brought this tonight. Obviously, we don't have a letter, but we did have a letter that your district's got that said we don't support it, and we recommended the county not to support it. That was pretty clear. They voted on it.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, you voted on something we never asked you to vote on. And whether you want to vote on it or not, that's fine. Yes.
Because I suggest that you direct the city manager to resend that letter.
I can do that.
Okay.
City manager, would you resend that letter to and make sure that
I'll send it to everyone.
Send it to everybody. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
We can get out of the way so they can finish our stuff.
Thanks, guys.
We got three more folks to come up here.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Appreciate it.
We need to make it over.
Jim, thank you for coming.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for meeting me. We want to 15 minutes, Charlie.
We don't want to get into your executive session.
Come on up. It's our mid-state folks.
We appreciate your donation.
Mr. Mayor, and Jeremy can give the report. We've been working with these guys, and it's actually went pretty well. We, you know, the first meeting's always a little bumpy, you know. You kind of get yourselves all figured out. And we decided, you know, they were a little bigger than us. But we start out with a lot of issues. And we really have done a good job of narrowing down. We met with a lot of these folks. Jeremy and their attorney have been going back and forth. And then Darwin and I have done some drive-bys around town, and we've had a couple lunches, and we kind of helped finish up some things. And there's a couple issues. The biggest thing is around kind of the power line bearing of the power lines, which lines are appropriate. And Darwin educated me a lot in the tour. And so maybe you can kind of say where we are, but I think, you know, there's a couple of little things that are more technical for us to kind of work on, but we could talk about. But it's really the big thing. It'd be nice to spend a little time so we can reach agreement that will work for us in Mid-State. It's what power lines do you bury and which ones don't you when there's a project, and the definition of that. So,
you want me to take it?
Yep.
Please. So we've as Rick said, have gone through this negotiation process, and I think at the 10,000 foot level, some of the more critical issues that really need to be discussed, and there are only a few, is the, for example, undergrounding of the electrical facilities. In section 2.1, you will note that the proposed language limits, for example,
do you need a copy? That's here. You didn't bring one on.
I
don't know if I got a red line and non-red line, so,
but I do.
Well, you need one?
Yes, yes, please.
I need one too.
Well,
I
just, yeah,
I'm
red line, that's not
the
best. Well,
okay, we emailed it to you.
Rick, I've got a partner sharing here with me.
Do you have yours?
So section 2.1 requires that any new construction of electrical facilities concerning a new residential subdivision will be located underground. That is the language that I believe Mid-State is willing to accept today. It is different language than which was originally proposed. And so that's one item that needs to be discussed today. May I jump on, or would you like to focus?
Jeremy.
Yes.
Just quickly. That's the same exact language that was proposed originally.
The original language was more encompassing and extended to all electrical facilities, not limited to.
Okay. Well, this is we misinterpreted that.
This is version 2. That language was discussed at one of our meetings, and Rick and I, you know, included that language in there, subject to City Council approval. So that's issue number one that needs to be discussed. Issue number two, and it's a related issue in 2.2. You'll note that the city, and I'm looking at, I'll give you the line number here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 lines down. It begins with if city. It says if city requires that Mid-State relocate an overhead line underground pursuant to section 2.2, city will pay the difference in cost between relocating the overhead line overhead and relocating the line underground. So there's some sharing of expenses there. The subsequent sentence is also something that needs to be discussed, and that provides city will not require Mid-State to place overhead transmission lines underground. So, obviously, you see the common issue here is the obligation of certain electrical facilities to be located underground. The other issue that we are working on, and frankly, I don't have an issue with 3.2, the changes that have been proposed, and Rick and I have tentatively accepted, subject to your approval, and that concerns the approval of construction work. And if you look in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line down,
it now provides that all construction work will receive the city's prior approval. However, if the city does not object to the proposed construction work within 15 days, it is now deemed approved. And that makes sense from an efficiency standpoint, I believe.
They did say 5, and they thought that was too short, so we upped it to 15, which is good.
So that's a new change. The other change that was made is in Section 4.1. In Section 4.1, what we decided to do, rather than get cute with the definition of gross revenues, is we included a definition of gross revenue that is nearly identical, if not identical, to the franchise agreements out of Bend and Redmond and some other municipalities. The other change is that Bill Sheridan, which is counsel for Midstate, and I discussed actually this morning, are really non-substantial, without any legal substantive effect, and that concerns notices and dates and things of that nature. But I think that for purposes of this discussion, unless all of you, disagree otherwise, I think we should focus on the undergrounding of the electrical facilities and the gross revenue, the franchise fee definition. Is that fair? As far as what issues we have left?
Do you have any more?
Am I missing anything?
No, one or the. On the, we just made that little change too in 3.5, Jeremy.
3.5.
To the Medicaid policy.
Yeah, and then 3.5, you'll notice that the tree pruning or the
tree trimming,
thank you, provision has been tied to Midstate's current policy. The expectation is, or the requirement is, that that policy must be at a level that is equal to or exceeds the policy currently in place by the BUC. And so, clearly, it's to our benefit.
Our current policy on tree trimming is much more robust than what the requirements of the TDC are.
Which we will attach as an exhibit, as referenced in that particular provision. So, I guess, Dolan, I didn't see that as being important.
Right? It's not that you had a blue line, so.
Oh, okay. So, let's talk about, if I may, the undergrounding issue.
Okay.
Well, I maybe let them explain. We talked about this a few months ago, and we were trying to go pretty heavy to undergrounding. And a couple things I noted, you're actually a very underground city, more so than you would find. And obviously, the older subdivisions have above ground. Your new subdivisions don't. But compared to most cities, your Highway 97 has no power lines going down it already. And then Huntington, which would be your downtown old town, actually only has a block or something. I want to say one block or something. It's already underground. And then First Street is already underground. So when I started looking at it, really where you're going to have a sidewalk project, say with a state grant type situation, and that can raise the cost a ton, they're already gone. So if you start getting off down some little side street, those in most cities are there until, whatever. You just replace them as they are. So you do have more underground now. And Darwin kind of, I think did a good job of showing me that. And then I started looking at Sisters and everything. And, you got the big main running at
Foss.
The transmission line Sisters has those. You can't bury them. And by that, maybe you need to explain, you can, but you can't.
Okay.
So...
We can go through that a little bit. We've only have one road crossing down here on Foss Road, right there by the blinking light for the crosswalk. And Rick had talked to me about Sisters. And so Sisters has got four crossings right through the main part of town. So Rick and I went out and we spent some time just looking at things. And we do have quite a bit of facilities that are underground within the city. One of the things that was in there was that our concern was is transmission lines. We have a transmission line that crosses right out here across the meadow. And that transmission line is in front of our office, and it's on our property. It actually is on our property on Mitts Way. Putting transmission at 115,000 volts underground is about $3 to $4 million a mile. It's just cost prohibitive. And one of the developers in Bend put part of our transmission underground, and for 2,700 feet, it cost them $3.2 million. So we talked, I talked to Rick about it, took him around, showed him where the transmission line was, and if you go into Bend and go right down 3rd Street, PP&L has got the transmission line and steel poles right down 3rd Street, right on the street. Fortunately, we're off the street, we're not down the main highway, so I think, and we don't have any idea that we're going to be moving that transmission line. So that was one of the things. I talked to Rick, we did put this in here that if the city had some project and they got funding for it under this 2.2, and I added this, and Rick thought it was a good idea, that the city would have the option if they were doing some kind of improvement project and they got funding for it, they could request that the line be, if it needs to be relocated for street widening or something, rather than relocating it overhead, they could cost share and they could request to go underground and they pay the cost difference between overhead and underground. It's a common thing that's done everywhere. We did drop out, there's one sentence in there about the city could have a line relocated and pay for it and then mid-state reimburse them. There's a lot of federal laws, OSHA laws, 1910 standards. You can't just hire somebody to go move an electric line. If they're not qualified, they can't do it. When you start working with high voltage, somebody's going to get killed if they do. It's just that simple. 3.2, the only thing, I agree with everything, the changes Jeremy has made in 3.2. The only thing, it's a little confusing, it says obtain all necessary construction permits concerning the proposed work, if any, and then it says to file necessary construction permits, and it's a little misleading to us. It sounds like construction permits from the city, and we understand it's not.
Right.
And I don't know if, and with Jeremy we can do this, is maybe construction permits that may be required from other agencies, and just simply add something there like the state. If we go across the highway and bore across the highway,
ODOT.
We have to have a permit from ODOT and stuff like that, which is, I think, the intent of it.
Well, and I actually discussed that with Bill this morning, and my explanation, according to Bill, sufficed. He understood the use of the language.
Oh, okay.
So we can talk after the meeting.
Okay.
But it's been resolved.
Okay. It's been resolved. Any questions on the undergrounding aspect?
So, other than an improvement, or you don't see any other instance where the city would require Midstate to relocate a line? What other instance would there be?
If there's street widening, for instance,
okay.
and they need the right-of-way, and the line is in the way, if we're in the street right-of-way, excuse me, and you're widening the right-of-way and ask us to relocate, we do have to relocate at our expense. If we're outside of the street, the city right-of-way, and you take property and we're in an easement, then you have to pay for us to relocate. But anywhere that we're in the city right-of-way and there's a need for public purposes needed and we're required to relocate, we have to do that. But we relocate in kind. In other words, we relocate the existing overhead. It gets relocated
right.
over.
And that's what we're talking about. If we wanted it underground, then we would pay.
The cost difference.
The cost difference between... Right, okay.
Only the cost difference.
Right. Yeah. No, I read it there. Yeah.
Okay.
So, out in the industrial part, I believe you're making a loop. There's... something about a loop so that if part of the industrial park loses power, you'll still be able to switch over to the other loop.
Well, we have a loop out there. You mean in front of Wilderness?
Yes.
Well, that to tie that little section together, yes.
Okay, and who is bearing the cost of that?
Any loop, that would be a request of ours. We would bear the cost of that.
Okay, so that is not going to take effect anywhere else in the industrial park. It's already done. The underground.
The industrial park is underground.
Except that one little spot.
Yeah, that's been there for years. Oh, I see what you're saying. In front of Wilderness, mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, so that's the only spot in the industrial park that's left to go underground.
Yes.
Okay, so the city would not have to worry about it anywhere else in the industrial park?
No. Well, okay. You have to talk about your transmission lines are kind of going through the industrial park.
They're on Finley Butte out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's existing overhead down mm-hmm. in the industrial park. Mm-hmm.
So if the city wanted that underground, then the city would have to pay for it.
But those are transmission lines.
Right? So still, aren't no, some are distribution, some are transmission.
Aren't you on the other side of the tracks?
I'm not worried about it. Well, I am worried about that.
Why are we all over those lines?
I'm not worried about the entire industrial park.
Every new development in the industrial park has been put underground.
Underground, okay.
And the developer who is Liggy has paid for that.
Okay.
So any development that goes underground, the developer pays for it. Huntington Meadows over here, Joel Giesler paid for that to go underground. Okay. Any new residential subdivision per the ordinance would go underground.
At their expense.
Okay. It wouldn't cost the city anything.
Okay.
Nor would it cost our members anything.
This is a 10-year agreement, Jeremy.
It is.
And so one of my things too is it's kind of like, you know, it's the first one, and you get 90-some percent of what you want. And, you know, it's not going to be a lot of development in the next decade. I think after what Don and I heard today, the economic forecast. I think we'll find two or three things. You know, most cities have been around 100 years. They got 10 of these every 10. So they've done 10 of these, and they're updating them occasionally. So, you know, just always keep that in mind. This isn't for the next 100 years. It, you know, we'll be able to tweak it if we're trying to capture all the things that we, you know, can get in there.
Okay. That answers questions on underground.
Are you guys comfortable with the wording you got here?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good.
And we've worked quite a bit on this, and Rick and I have spent quite a bit of time on it, and I know Jeremy has spent, and Bill has spent a lot of time on it too. I'd like to jump over to the franchise fees for. We've got a couple of questions that we want to bring up before the council. And one where the term gross revenues means mid-state's gross revenues derived from sale and or use of electricity or electrical service within city corporate limits, less net uncollectibles. Then he goes on to say, including without limitation revenues from the use, rental, and or lease of electric facilities. We'd like to, and I think Bill talked to you about this too, we'd like to exclude that and stop with a period after uncollectibles. And the reason I say that is, I'll just give you an example. The thing that I think this pertains to is pole rental. Am I correct?
Yes.
I
mean,
we get $5.78 a year for pole rental. We've got approximately 125 pole rentals within the city limits, which would amount to 40.4 cents a year to the city council, or $50. Our time to take and try to take and pull all these pole rentals out and keep track of that is going to cost way more money to try to administer this than it's worth the $50. I don't know how the council feels about this. If you know, when we go out there, I think it showed Rick, almost all of your telephone, all of your cable and everything is underground in town, so there aren't any pole rentals. Quest is all underground. They have a few places that are overhead over by the high school, but that's about it. So I'd like to see if we could get some consideration on that. And then we drop down and it says, if any direct access to new electric service. Bill asked Jeremy what that meant, and we're not sure what it means other than possibly thinking that we could sell to somebody wholesale.
Correct.
And we're not allowed to sell.
Yeah, that's what Bill said.
Yeah, we're not allowed to sell wholesale power. We're 100% requirements from BPA. We cannot wholesale electricity to anybody. The only thing I could think of that would kind of fall into that would be like a trailer park with a master meter.
Mm-hmm.
and we bill that customer, and they get billed for all kilowatt hours, which would show up on the 7%. If they take and resell it to their tenants, they have to sell it exactly to the at the price we give it to them at. So they can't make any money on it. That's state law. They have no choice. So that sentence, direct access, we'd like to drop out of there because it has no meaning. It has.
Is that fine?
I told Bill it was immaterial.
Let's. You want to talk about that gross? But you just talked about the full rental.
Yeah.
You know, we've been sweet on the power pole thing. Well, this one's a little. You know, the problem is the world's changing and what everyone provides and what could be hooked to those poles a few years from now. And in the research that Jeremy's done, it's you know, most cities don't exempt that. You just don't know what may go hooked on the poles. So while there's $5 a year on X amount of poles today, in 5 years, you could be the cable TV is hooked on them, whatever. And it's income and it's gross revenue, and that's the, you know, while yeah, you may spend a couple more than you'd like to send us the $50, once it's in your computers, it's probably, if it's something that simple and not complicated, you know, a guy can figure out a percentage pretty easy on your rental income on your poles. It's a percent. So, and there could be more stuff on them in the future, and so we're not as excited about starting to exempt a bunch of things.
But by the same token, we're going to renegotiate this in 2 years.
No, ten.
I misunderstood.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. One of the problems with pole attachments is that in this document, you have the option to come in and do it in audit. What happens with pole attachments, people come along and attach and don't tell us. And so you could do an audit and come back and say, hey, you didn't build me for this. Well, I didn't get the money for this. So then it becomes, how do we keep track of what they're doing?
Yeah.
It's hard.
I agree with you, but if it's, you know, if you find one or two of those at the rate you're talking, you know, it's a couple cents and we're probably not going to bother you. It's really what could come along in the future.
But don't those cable TV companies pay franchise fee also?
Yes.
So they're already paying franchise fee. So but yeah, this is an expense thing.
You know,
they're paying it on their revenue too.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea is though you're generating revenue from this activity, and the franchise fee shouldn't be excluded to those aspects of the revenue that you generate.
The poles are on public property. They're on city property. And the idea is you pay rent when the poles on city property, and that's income. That
my recommendation would be that we retain the flexibility. That would be my recommendation.
Is Dan, does this include, is the transmission lines, are they all yours or do people rent those as well?
No, they're all ours.
That's all yours, huh?
So there was how many poles?
I think there's roughly, there's roughly 125 poles.
Okay. Comment down to Jeremy's. Keeping it in gross revenue?
I don't think that those small amounts on the poles make that much difference, personally.
Dan, any comment?
I guess I just wondered if we could reach some agreement maybe for this next 10 years that we just round it off, and so they don't have to keep books, just say it's for the next 10 years. You know, there's some number there, and that's what it is, and then we re-examine it when we redo the contract or something to make it easy, I don't know. But I mean, you know, the mix...
Maybe if their income is under...
$50?
I wouldn't go that low. You know, I mean, so under $1,000 or $500, you know, so in case something major came along that none of us are thinking about, we're all retired and gone, and suddenly there's a new enterprise out there.
It's over X. Yeah.
And then suddenly it's generating a bunch of money that we've left out, and we have to then try to renegotiate. So maybe we could put it there, but exempt it if the total is under something. So if you say you're not going to add anything, then it's no risk to you.
Oh, we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah.
Well, my opinion is I would defer to this, our city attorney, and take his advice to leave the flexibility in. I know that this is probably an up-and-coming industry where they have a lot of they're touching a lot of things to pull, and relocation and co-location and all sorts of things. But I think if Jeremy suggested the flexibility stay in there, there must be a reason. So I would defer to his advice.
Stu?
Well, I'd like to defer to the attorney's advice also, keeping in mind that, you know, Mid-State has always been a wonderful supporter of the Pine community. They're a leader in support, again, throughout the community with everything they do. So if there's some way to come to some flexibility, to maybe put it at a limit or something, or look at it again and
make. How about $250
per year?
Yeah, if your income's gonna be, if your franchise fee to us is less than that, you don't pay it.
Why you just $250? We just pay you $250. Just forget about
it. All of a sudden, you've got all these leases and attachments.
No, I'm just kidding.
If it's less than $250, you know, then we could agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I could see where we could agree.
You say currently,
I mean, for instance, you're looking at $50.
$50 means you can do a lot of expansion of your current. Yeah, not hit the $250.
So what if we agree to an annual audit, and if it doesn't exceed $50 or whatever, then we don't do anything. If it does exceed a limit, then.
I think we all understand what it takes, or it could take, to keep books on this little thing, and and I think Stu said, you know, how you know, I think we all love Mid-State for its great wisdom it's used in the years of keeping our rates down. And making some very wise decisions. The great community service, I don't think anybody's gone to them and asked them for money that they didn't get it. And the simplest thing would be, in my mind, would be to set this limit at $250. That's the quickest, easiest, simplest for everybody, and we've got something in there.
Yep.
So,
and that protects you.
Yeah, and it makes it simple. For this bookkeeping, I can imagine what it would be like handling 105 poles. So that's my input.
Okay, I agree.
So we reached consensus on that thing. Yeah. Okay.
Sure. So essentially, gross revenues will not include the revenue that you derive from the use, rental, and/or lease of electrical facilities, to the extent it's less than $250. If it exceeds $250, it becomes part of the calculation.
The franchise fees do not exceed $250. The gross revenue will, but
right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Revenue related to the lease.
Yeah.
Revenue. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'll put that language in there.
Okay.
Any other?
Are we still just a question? Are we still looking? Like you talked about July 1st.
We were thinking July 1st it would affect you, because they're going to have to go back and forth to the attorney, so we're going to be into February, then it's still got to come back, you know, and then you're March, they have to by law give 30 days notice, we had an ordinance request, so I'm sitting here thinking, you know, if we just, and then we'd have to do a supplemental budget possibly, so maybe we just said July 1, we'll put the income in our next year's budget, and we can then spend the next couple months.
You're saying starting
July 1,
so the first payment would be 3 months after that.
Yeah, if you're going to pay quarterly. Yeah, and so
okay, that's one issue.
That was my thought, to try to do it in May or June, because you know, this is forever. And while yes, you'd say, well, we're giving up a couple months, you've given up 4 years, and you know, it's. I think there's some good reasons to do it in July 1.
Yeah. I would just add first that I agree. I think that, you know, as fast as we think this might move along, it'll take time to do the back and forth, and then everything the city manager said is really relevant here, and I think July 1 is a is a perfect target date.
We want to get it done with the attorneys. You give attorneys on there, we'll settle that.
Come on,
get it done, and so that we'll have it kind of clean and ready. And also, that the government entities can figure it in their budget too.
So. Yes, and get back in the light parade, please.
we just got tired of winning.
We have consensus.
I think it's a great agreement, and I too think that, you know, Mid-State's been really good, I think, to this whole community, and it doesn't pay me or pain me to accept their money for the city, but I do know that they do a lot for the city over and above. I really, personally, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was all the issues. Let me say, it's been, you know, it's one of those things, and, you know, we went in, and I remember our first meeting, and, you know, like I say, you kind of do all of this, and that's what you do, but you get together, and you start working it out, and in 6 months, we went from that to where we are. That's how these things should go, and they can go that way, and I appreciate you guys, and, you know, it was fun.
And I echo Rick's comments and appreciate the cooperation. Went through a similar negotiation process with another city, another co-op, and it didn't go nearly as smoothly, so I appreciate that effort.
Yeah. And the other thing you can hope for, if BioGreen comes in, that'll be one of your huge...
We'll be all be smiling, huh?
Yeah.
And, you know, earlier in the evening, I asked Darwin, after I found out that city manager had been given a tour and a rounding of all of the electrical, and I asked Darwin if he would mind or he had some time, maybe he could do that with me. And while we've obviously reached some agreements, I'd still like to call you and
absolutely
have you
anytime.
Maybe we count the polls or something.
He doesn't have that much time.
Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Do some of you need copies of that?
No, anybody need a copy of the jar?
Did you make some? Because I can go print some more if we need some.
No, I have an extra one.
I have an extra one.
I think we had,
there could have been.
Okay, so, you know, the Charter Committee worked on it. You guys were all there at some of the hearings. Every one of you have sat in on some of it and Ken actually participated. This is it. Jeremy went through it. Let him quickly go through and talk. There's a couple of changes that are some wording that we'll work on, but this isn't for you to we will have a hearing. On it. We'll pass a resolution. We need to do that in February because the ballots you have to get to the clerk in March. Okay. So the idea of giving it to you before today, having this here to talk a little, you know, it's one of these things that we can't do what we just did with Mid-State.
Right.
We can't wait till
July.
Yeah, because you won't get on the ballot. So it's kind of like if there's a major heartburn over a major section of it, you need to kind of see if we reach any consensus to change or do it so that then they can get it drawn up so when we come in February, it's ready to roll. You know, and then if we have to tweak it a little, we can come back in a week or two and have a special meeting if we need to.
If we had.
But, so that, anyway, this is kind of your chance. Hey, you guys have, you've been all around this thing.
Yeah. Jeremy, if you would, just go ahead and let's go through some of the changes or some of the points you want to make.
Do you have a red line of it, Rick?
I go front one.
If you had a red line.
Do you have a red line? We run it on a black and white printer because it's cheaper.
Well, let's do it and use yours. So, the ones of consequence, I believe, are in Section 12, for example. This expressly permits council members to attend via telephone conference call system. I think it's important to retain that flexibility.
Yeah.
What section?
Section 12.
Okay.
Chapter 3, though.
Oh, I'm going to go by section as I go through this.
All right.
Let's stop and talk about it. We don't come back. I mean, so it's talking about, you know, allowing someone to, in fact, we had Adele did it at one time. Some of the Damascus is new. They allow it's new technologies to use a phone. And so Jeremy wanted to put some wording in there. But I thought it's good. It says you got a reasonable level of hearing. In other words, you can't have some mumbled up speaker phone that nobody can hear. It only is going to work if it's working.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then moving forward here, section 19 sub A, you had unequivocal language, for example, requires approval. And I think what you meant to say is may be approved. You got to build in some flexibility for the city council.
Yes.
And so I changed the required to may be approved, and you'll see that in a couple other places as well.
Required to what?
Required to may. It's in section 19 sub A.
Okay.
Jumping to section 22 sub A, same change. You had required approval. It's may be approved now. The rest of those changes in section 22, section 24, I'm sorry, 25, these are all more or less changes for consistency purposes. There isn't any other changes, I believe, of legal significance other than section 42. You included repeal language. All charter provisions adopted before this charter take effect.
This is section 42.
There's no 42 now in there, so they don't have it.
Okay, well, I removed language that provided for the repeal of prior charter amendments or provisions. The reason for that is obvious. You don't have a charter, and so it doesn't apply.
So section 42 completely is off.
Correct.
That's gone. A couple items that I did not address in here that I'd like to briefly cover with you.
Jerry, you did say that it takes effect. We had July 1.
Well, because it doesn't matter what you put in there until the voters approve it, but it becomes effective. Is there a reason that...
Well, it was in some of the other charters. I mean, it was either in the template charter or in Damascus. But because does it start at midnight? After, is it when the election certified? Does it start that hour?
My recollection is as soon as it's been certified and actually processed, it's effective. Unless you delay the effective date of the charter.
Well, we made it. I mean, we did that on
purpose.
Yeah, July 1st. Approve that again. It's approved in May. You go 5 weeks. July 1 it starts.
So we can reinstate to July 1st. That's fine.
Yes.
That would be section, old section 44, new section 41. You'll notice the numbering changed commencing in section, I believe it was 35, is because it was misnumbered originally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you took out things.
So a couple things that I'm going to propose that we include. It's not necessary. It's obviously at your discretion. But I would like to see a provision in the charter, and this is something that is often included in charters, providing that no compensation would be paid to city councilors, but there is flexibility for reimbursement of expenses. If you don't like it, it's fine. I have not been part of your charter discussion, so if I cover an area or an issue that you've already discussed, I apologize in advance.
Say that again.
So I would like to include or propose that you include a provision that provides that city council members will serve without compensation, but may be reimbursed for...
We have an option to go for compensation?
You do.
You know, the California... See, I remember you.
They took advantage of the option.
Yeah.
Gary, would that be better served in the charter or in council rules and regulations?
No, that's an excellent question, Stu. And here's the bottom line. Anything you put in the charter, to change it, you've got to go through a charter amendment. Mm-hmm. This is literally, it's an issue of flexibility. if you put it in your charter, you'll have limited flexibility in making those changes or amendments because of the process you have to go through to get it approved. If you have it in council rules, then obviously you can change it at a council meeting, whatever you put in your council rules. So it's an issue of policy and principle, I believe.
I have a feeling about it, Dan.
Well, we're a small town. I don't see us going to compensation for councilors. I just didn't have that in there, that we have no compensation.
Right. Adele?
I agree.
Stu?
Well, I agree because in some districts, they do allow for that. Mm-hmm. And one that I sat on, we voted against it. The next board voted for it. Back and forth it went. So if it is in your charter, it's there, and you don't have to worry about it.
Don,
so
should stay.
Should be put in there. I think it should be put in there just because of the fact that it defines the fact that there's no pay, that you have the expense side of it. That's
sure.
So
that's
I agree. I agree. Yep. Consensus is then that we put it in.
Very good. I'm just gonna identify this and we can move on, but quickly in Section 8 as it relates to the mayor. And
Section 8?
Section 8, yes.
Section 8.
That is interesting.
It is interesting.
And maybe beyond coincidental.
And in fact, it doesn't apply here because this is a charter that's going to be effective in July. So I don't take any note of it. But we all know what Section 8 means. Jeremy?
So I just want to be clear. I know that this is a topic that's been discussed quite a bit about the mayor only voting to break a tie. That is still the position of the city council. Okay.
I personally feel that being as the mayor is an elected person by the city under this council, that he should have a vote on all issues. That's my personal opinion.
If I could make a comment about Don's comment, he does have a vote. And the fact is that he only exercises that when there's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a vote.
That's true.
And I'm not, you know,
she apologized.
Since that would be after the 31st of July, or she. I like this. Okay. Adele?
I'll wait for the next point because it's off topic. All right.
Okay.
Another topic.
Dan, did...
No, I'm good. I think this reads well to me.
Okay. There was a lot of effort put into here by the...
I know.
By the group, the charter committee, to this language.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the vote now on that. They spent a lot of time on this. They tabled it and came back.
And finally...
John over there was the chair of it, did an excellent job.
No. Charter committee.
Yeah.
Charter committee.
No, and I'm not advocating the change, just making sure that we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Section 16B, this is something that...
Before we move on off that section, I just want to clarify what this means. With the consent of the council, the mayor appoints members of commissions and committees mm-hmm. established by ordinance and resolution. So does that... So they invest the power in him, and then he picks the committee members, or no?
With the consent of the council.
You want to take it? You want me to take it? Well, ultimately, the prospective committee members, for example, or commission members, would be presented to the full city council for approval.
Oh, okay.
That's how it would operate. You have anything to add?
Well, I mean, because I've always kind of laughed over that. It's in the charter, so it's giving the mayor power, but you ultimately get
a trump card.
So you know what I think it's saying? Because you know, like when we were, sometimes we could spend, I think it's part of us move things along. You could spend hours trying to talk about who. So the mayor's going to get if he's got five names, he says, you know, this is the two I think should go on. He brings them to you, and if you say, hey, don't like those, he's got to go find two others. So you ultimately get a veto rather than having it a free-for-all.
Okay.
So it's kind of like giving him a power, but you have veto power.
So,
is that an answer?
Thank you.
And that is in all the charters.
It is. Yeah. And it is strange language. 16B, this is something that I do think is pretty interesting as far as what you currently included. Currently, it provides the council may adopt an ordinance at a single meeting by the unanimous approval of at least a quorum of the council. Okay, now why this is an issue, we're talking about ordinances. And ordinances are the law of the city, right? Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, as a policy matter, city councils like to, unless there's an emergency, like to give the public advance notice and as much opportunity to comment on an ordinance as possible. It is my personal opinion that when you adopt an ordinance at a single meeting, that the threshold should be greater than a quorum, because all you're talking about is three council members. You could have two council members that are not even present at that discussion. Mm-hmm. And you could have three, it is a majority, but you could have three that would act upon the full city council without receiving any input from two other city councilors. So I'm going to propose that if you're going to adopt it at a single meeting, it should be unanimous.
I agree.
I'm Rick Storm, so.
So does this take out the, so currently under ORS we read it twice and then it, no?
ORS requires you to only read it once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this is, and actually that's a notation I made in my notes as well, as this is a different process than what you currently are subject to. Mm-hmm.
Comment, Adele?
Yeah, my comment would be just to keep it with the additional reading and then the vote.
I tend to agree with you.
So basically as is, but unanimous if it's a single reading. Did I get that right?
No.
So
the way it is.
The way it is, the quorum.
The two readings, the way that we do it now.
That is the case regardless.
Okay.
Okay, if so I'm tracking,
explain it to me again.
So basically the way we do it now,
right,
or the way we can do it now is we can adopt an ordinance by a majority vote
right.
at a single meeting. That's the way we can do it now. The way this provides is identical to the way we do it now. It's a quorum, mm-hmm. right, at a single meeting to adopt an ordinance. What I'm suggesting is now that we are putting together our own charter, you should at least consider having the fact that if you're going to adopt an ordinance at a single meeting, it's by unanimous consent of the full city council.
Well,
otherwise, you'd have to go back and read it twice.
Okay. So I'm a little confused. So why do we read it twice and then vote on it?
That's what this provides here.
Okay. All right.
That's what your charter currently is proposing.
Okay.
Do you have to read it, or can you read the whole ordinance, or can you read it by title only?
Well, that's a great question, Stu, and yet another notation I have. So oftentimes, charters will include discussions or a reference to the process that you go through. For example, unless someone objects, you can read an ordinance by title only. You've probably seen those in some of the district charters, if you will. Our charter currently does not have that type of process outlined. If you want that type of process included, I can include it. But currently, it's silent as it relates to reading the title by ordinance only, reading an ordinance in full.
It doesn't say you have to read it in full or...
Doesn't say either one.
So, Jeremy, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm confused, and I looked at the audience, and they were a little bit confused,
okay.
too.
So let's do it this way. Let's walk through what the charter currently provides.
Okay.
So 16A, it says, except as authorized by subsection B, adoption of an ordinance requires approval by a majority of the council at two meetings.
Oh, okay.
Two meetings.
Okay.
Okay, all right. So...
Is that answered?
Yes.
Is that clear? I didn't have that.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, our charter is proposing something that we currently are not subject to.
Okay.
And that is right out of the template charter from LOC. Okay.
I have no problem with it myself personally, in that I think it should be changed to reflect that it should be a the whole council.
Mm-hmm.
instead of just the core.
I agree.
It definitely provides the public more opportunity to comment.
Yes.
In a situation that you would adopt at a single meeting, you'd have a full city council with unanimous consent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's saying a unanimous approval of at least a quorum. What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that theoretically you could have three people sitting here and have two councilors absent, and they could adopt an ordinance at one meeting. That's the way it's worked.
At one meeting, but if...
not one meeting, right?
Okay. What you're saying is if you could have someone sick for a couple months, you don't want to shut down business.
Well, you still don't need... If you
have a two meetings, it doesn't matter.
You can, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
As long as you can do it at two meetings.
Yeah. It's not gonna, it should not handcuff you.
And you also have the phone conference.
Correct.
And so you can take out the words at least a quorum.
And that's one of the reasons why I included that.
And put in unanimous consent.
Yeah.
Unanimous.
Sounds good.
Okay. We're all there? All there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Record cringing.
Question.
I'm making changes to your charter.
Oh, no.
We're making changes to your charter. Let me see. You know, some of these other issues Rick and I discussed prior to the meeting, and I don't think it's necessary that I bring them up now. There are more questions or concerns that I had regarding notice, advance notice requirements. For example, Section 19 requires, let's go look at Section 19. Section 19 sub B. It provides any substantive amendment to a resolution must be read aloud or made available in writing to the public before the council adopts the resolution at that meeting. So my question to Rick was, well, how much advance notice are you going to give the public before you adopt a resolution? The same language is in the ordinance provision as well. Now, given the benefit in leaving out any reference to a specific advance time frame, is the flexibility the city council retains. But for the public might want to put some parameters on your ability to make changes right before a meeting and adopt an ordinance.
This is a resolution. This is a resolution.
It's the same language in the ordinance as well. And the ordinance reference is under Section 16 sub C. Does everyone see that?
Yeah.
So it's something to consider.
I would change it.
I I'm not advocating either way. I'm just pointing that out.
I mean, right? If you're requiring unanimous votes, you're requiring all these other the other things that are all in here. The template charter doesn't go where he wants to go. Damascus, which is the newest city with us, isn't going there.
That's right.
And I think there's probably good reason. I mean, I think the charter is a broad thing. Mm-hmm. And to say that you have to get that notice out 7 days ahead, what if you do it in 6.5 and you got to wait another month? I mean, you know, this, especially a resolution, you pass them quite frequently.
It'd be the ordinance where I think you'd probably pay particular attention to it.
I personally don't have a problem with either one of them. Staying written the way they are.
Okay.
Dan?
Yes, I agree. I think the process takes a long time as it is, and adding to it is sometimes, you know, keeps us from doing other things we should be doing. And as long as things are out to the public in writing or read aloud, I think that everybody's involved.
Yeah.
Has an opportunity to be involved.
Adele?
So worst case scenario, what would that look like? So that would be
the day of the meeting.
The day of the meeting, the ordinance is read, there would be public comment at the second meeting, right?
Or Adele, the revised ordinance would go out, you know, an hour before your second meeting. That's theoretically what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case scenario, right?
Yeah. Well, I'd just air the caution and I would change it.
Stu?
Well, remembering that this is supposed to be a broad
document,
but I am, you know, also leery of something getting thrown in there at the last minute, hoping that the people sitting here would be more responsible than that. Is there any other?
Well, I think the reason of probably not putting it, it's any substantive change. Who defines substantive? So as soon as you don't meet, and this is in the charter, substantive to one person is, could be just changing a dollar figure on something. Mm-hmm. To someone else, that's house cleaning. Mm-hmm. So you what substantive? That's an interesting definition. So it's saying if you make a substantive change, you must give, say, under his theory, 7 days notice. Mm-hmm. You're going to then fight over what's substantive.
But it's for you to determine what is.
Right.
Well, but then someone can challenge you on that.
Which is true.
And I think that's why the template from the LLC and stuff, you know, does it this way. And this came from your 9-person committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 6 months at it.
Don?
I'm happy with either way.
I'm happy the way it is because I think Stu spoke to it, you know, that we would hope that the council sitting here would hold the public in respect and not move to that. Also, just the fact that substantive, as you've explained, is a question mark, and the idea that you know it leaves the council with flexibility. With a full knowledge that, you know, it would be taken against us if we put it an hour before, you know, we ought to hear hue and cry, you know. So from that respect, I have no problem with the way it is.
There's one change I'd like to see.
In this,
you go to 33.
Let's finish this before. No, that's okay. So,
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Good. To leave it as it's written, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Adele, can you come to that?
No, I can decline to.
Okay. Okay.
Defer.
Okay. We shall leave it as it is? Okay.
That's all I have.
What about reading title, or did we go over that?
No, let Don get to him first, too, please. You have one, Don.
On 33B, solely on the basis of education and experience, I would like to see it and/or experience.
33? Mm-hmm.
Majority of the council must appoint and may remove the manager. The appointment must be made without regard to political consideration and solely on the basis of education, the way it reads now, and experience and competencies and practice of local government management. Maybe someone doesn't have the education or a college degree, but they do have the experience in place of it.
See what you're getting at. Any comments, Council? Dan?
I think that what it's saying is, because it doesn't say you have to have a college degree, you can decide that a sixth grade education is enough. Mm-hmm. So it is just saying, really, that you can't make it on political considerations. It needs to be on education and experience. But it doesn't define what level of education. This is like your constitution. And that's... So you really have total flexibility. It doesn't tell you how much education. They're just telling you need. If you can say, hey, I think they have enough education, then you'd meet the threshold.
That's exactly correct.
I know what you're saying. You're trying to make sure there's flexibility, is what you're saying. Yeah.
How does that sound?
Well, it's fine with me as long as we have the flexibility to really look into the experience and know that they're qualified. I mean, like Rick said, if they've got a sixth grade education and they're still qualified because they've spent 20 years doing the work, then we should be able to convince. We should be able to hire that person if we desire to.
That's how I read it too.
Yeah. I don't think it'd make much difference either way. It doesn't. Do you want me to do the and or? Is that what I'm hearing? No, it doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters. I think you'd interpret it the same way.
Yeah.
Don't think anybody cared but me.
and I have no problem with the and or. I think it was looked at. And
if it's not necessary, there's no reason for it.
Okay. Stu, you had a comment.
No.
Go ahead, Stu.
Are we done going through it?
The reading by title is what your question is, and it's up to the it's up to all of you. If you want that type of language in there, I'm happy to include it. And again, just as a previous discussion, Stu had brought up the idea of potentially including in the charter language that spelled out when you'd have to read the ordinance by title only, or when you'd have to read the ordinance in its entirety. And when you had the flexibility to read the ordinance just by title for adoption purposes.
And you had a note on that.
I did, and my note was, do you want it in there? I could go either way.
John, what do you think?
I'm not sure.
Adele?
So what are we discussing? So it's so whether or not to.
There's no language in there.
He doesn't. Make sure we can read it by title only, Stu. Right.
Right.
Right now, it's a little bit like we said on button. It doesn't say you can, but say so. It's kind of like the council policy that was in office at the time.
Who wants?
If this council says I don't want to read them, you don't have to. But it doesn't require you read them. Okay. It doesn't require you don't.
Well, then if it's a broad enough document, and we have that maybe in our policies and procedures, we could put it in there and be bound by that.
And that gets back to the flexibility.
Right, okay. Is that okay?
And I will point out that we probably, at some point after this has been adopted, need to go back to look at your city council rules and procedures to make sure they coincide. They're consistent.
That's
a reminder.
Watching plan. Since it just started working, we were working on it today and going through and looking at that. Perfect. So we can incorporate something like this in.
That's why you get the big guys.
Is everybody, is that it?
That's all I have.
Okay.
So plan on, we'll make those changes. We'll get them out, before our meeting there in 3 weeks. And we'll have a resolution here for that. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, again, if there's something that really bugs you, we'll have a special meeting or do something. But we want to get it to the clerk before the 7th or 8th of March. So it's on the ballot.
Okay. And everyone understands the charter process, adoption process, I presume? Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Might you take a 5-minute break?
Yes. Well, we're at adjournment.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Any further business? Hearing none. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
On the
guys have it?
Look at it.